Blog Talk Radio.
For more experience music.
A lady came up to me after.
On Marvelous Monday. I'm Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith, the host of Talking Real to You. And I'm so excited to come before you on this Monday afternoon. We only had one show as of the new year when it turned in. We took the holidays off. And last week we had death in our family. I lost my sister. And God is good. I can tell you that people call and offer their encouragement, their text, and I want to just thank y'all and their condolences for the loss of, you know, the time of bereavement for us, and we thank you. You know, I just want to tell you one of the things I want you to take from this is say that, you know, tell your family members, tell your people that close and you love them, because you don't know or you're not guaranteed to see another day beyond that day, because God is the author as well as the beginning and an end, and we never know when that number or our time is. We'll transition into the place that we always want, looking forward to be. Because once we remove ourselves and our soul, our spirit from this body, we want to make sure we go and we can be with our Lord and Savior. Yes, my sister's gone, as well as my uncle. At this time, he passed on the 2nd. My sister passed on the 1st of February. And it just has been a challenging time for my family. But I appreciate having family, and I appreciate all of you all for for taking time to share your thoughts with us, attending the homegoing ceremony that we had on Saturday, and it just truly, to our heart is filled. We have each other. We're going to hold on to each other. We just want you to make sure you do that with your family. Tell them you love them. That's a gift that no one can take away from. And tonight's show is an awesome show that we have planned. The title of tonight's show is Talk is Cheap. Voting is free. Take it to the poll. It's all in God's plans. We don't own the rights to that song, but we like playing music that puts us where we need to be. And that's what we're going to do tonight. We got an awesome format. The call-in number for tonight's show is 347-857-4192. The web link, if you just want to just listen to the show, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/The Smith Way Production. And if you're on blog, you're calling in on Blog Talk Radio, and you want to hear that we are also being broadcast on Facebook, that's facebook.com/DRL DeAlberto Smith. And then we're also on Instagram, being broadcast on Coach DR Doctor Lorenza D. Smith 15. And we just look forward to having an awesome time tonight as we talk politics. This is our show dealing with politics. You might ask the question, why should I just take time to listen to talking with you? Because it focuses on just plain old life issues. It is the only father and daughter blog talk show in the country. So we're so proud to have. Not only are we being heard in these United States, we're being heard in Canada and 14 other countries all over the world. So we have listeners out there that's checking us out. When I give it a shout out, when you join us on Facebook, we they hear and know that you're out there checking us out. So you're the ones that's trying to get in now. I'm waiting on my co-hosts as well, which I will share their names in a minute. But if you want to, again, tweet the show, you can go to @TalkingRealToYou, @LorenzaDSmith15. @KOACH_L_Smith. That's Lauren D. Smith. And you can be a part of the show. Now, if you call in, we have 50 available slots if you want to call in. Once you call in, you have an opportunity to just listen to the show, or you have an opportunity to share your thoughts. And all you have to do is press 1, and I will identify you with the last 4 digits of your cell phone. Location, if you choose to, then offer your comments, your questions, and your expertise. So, again, we're going to have an awesome show tonight because we're going to focus on politics in America. The title of our show is Talk is Cheap. It's easy to talk about what you want and see changes. Voting is free. It don't cost you nothing but register and make sure you go to the polls. And the only way we can be successful, we got to take it to the polls. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And I want to take this opportunity to share the names of our co-hosts, also experts. Also introduce one of the co-hosts that's on the line right now, and I will do that. But I will give a shout out for those other individuals that's working, trying to be a part and get on the show as well. So I do appreciate them working on it, but I'm going to do the person that's joining us, the co-host that's joining us right now, an expert. We will call her. We always call all of them that. We have Dr. O, which is Dr. Olivia E. Smith. And I'll share with you, Dr. O is my sister. And I know like I said, we had a challenging week last week, and if she's not on, you can understand that. Also, Lauren D. Smith is my daughter, so you can see it's pretty much a family affair. And then we have Cameron Gilmer join us as well. Whenever he called in from time to time, offer his expertise. But we won't say last but not least. We have an awesome person on here, and I do appreciate my sister. She's my sister in the blue and white family. So glad to have her because she's inspiring for me. She gave me that push that I needed, and I'm so glad to have. This is a family affair. I tell y'all, I'm happy. I'm a member of Phi Beta Sigma fraternity, and my co-host is joining me as president to be able to share her thoughts about today's politics. Hails from the state of South Carolina, Greenville, South Carolina. Again, she's a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated, the newest member of the 100 Club. This is centennial year for the ladies of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority. So glad to have her. None other than Miss Scarlett H. Black. How you doing, Scarlett?
Well, I'm a little under the weather tonight, but I had to call in. This is a hot topic tonight, and I'll do my best. The weather has been from one extreme to the other. We had snow Saturday. It's been raining here today. Last week we were wearing near 70 degrees. So it's been up and down the place, and I think I've caught something. But I'm glad to be with you tonight, and love the introduction. Talk about Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated and our connection in that family, not blood relatives, but we're family in that relationship with Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated. So glad to be here tonight.
Thank you so much, Carla, to have you on tonight. You know, it's that connection. Like I say, you know, everybody say, well, and I haven't physically met Scarlett yet, but we are family. You know, that's where the blue and white connects. People got to understand, we're just not constitutional bound. We're family bound because we love one another. And we're here to support one another. And like I say, you know, she's my sister. She's my sister. No, might not be blood. She's my sister. She's just as well as my biological sister, Dr. O, and my daughter, Lauren. You know, we are all family, so we're glad to be here to share with you. The vision I had an opportunity, God shared with me back in 2017, to use this vehicle to get the word out. We're just going to talk about just plain old life issues. And this topic and what's been going on for the last 2 months, all of you will be a part of. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1, I identify you with the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number. Then I'll ask you to give your name and location if you choose, then offer your comments, your questions, as well as your expertise. So we're gonna make it happen tonight on Marvelous Monday. Talk is cheap. It always is if you're not going to do anything. Voting is free. It don't cost you nothing, but register and go and vote and cast that vote. And last but not least, we can talk a good game. If we don't go to the poll and cast our vote, we're wasting valuable, valuable time. And we can't make changes if we don't be all about changes. We have to keep that in mind. So we want to get started tonight, Scarlett, and we're going to move forth with some energetic conversation about politics. And everybody's aware of what's been going on with impeachment. Everybody understand how it was a partisan situation. Charges brought from the articles from the House of Representatives. The trial was taking place in the Senate, and we see how where it through the Senate they acquitted 45 based on a 53, which is partisan line Republican, and 47 Democrats was the vote. So he was acquitted, but in the eyes we know that. Things are not as it seems. We know what's going on. So we're going to talk about that. But before I get into the impeachment, which is a hot topic, everybody wants, I know, Scott, we all both want to share our thoughts on that. I want our listeners to get a clear understanding of the nomination process of both the Democratic as well as the Republican parties. We have to get a clear understanding. We see the 6, 7, 8 candidates who's campaigning with the Democratic Party, and they went through the Iowa caucus last week, and they had some glitch in there. We don't know why all of a sudden it's come up with these things going on. And tomorrow they'll be doing a New Hampshire caucus voting done tomorrow. So check that out and make sure you're New Hampshire. If you're listening, make sure you're voting. So, Scarlett, let's take an opportunity to kind of share with some people the purpose really of the nominating process. We know there were 20 or more candidates from the Democratic Party when we started off, and now we're whittling it down to around 6 or 7, however it may be, that we can get to the November election. But once the parties meet in the party's convention, that's when they decide who's going to be the representative. So, Scott, you want to kind of share some thoughts on that nomination process so many of our listeners can see how they can relate to it and understand it, because they may not have a clear understanding about it?
Yes, both parties, Democratic and Republican, have what we call primaries. And right now, we're going through the debate process to see on the Democratic side. They have to reach 1,900 and some delegates by convention time. And the person who has the most delegates and can reach that magic number is 1,900. I think it's 1,900. And, is it 1,929 or 1,911? I forgot the exact, but I know it's 1,900 plus. I'd say 1,900 plus in order to be the nominee from the Democratic Party. Now, on the Republican side, the GOP, 45 has gotten most of these states, excuse me, to cancel having primaries. So there are some other people in the Republican, on the Republican side, who are running for president of the United States. And as of to date, some of these states are being, you know, I won't say bullied or whatever, council having primaries, which is not the democratic process. We live in a democracy. This is not a dictatorship or autocracy. But the way the things are moving, we're moving more towards a monarchy where you have a king of a country. We're not a monarch. We are a democracy. And as a result of that, on the Democratic side, you had 20 people running for president based on the Democratic DNC, the Democratic National Committee, headed by Tom Perez. They had rules already set aside or agreed to by each of the candidates that they would adhere to. As a result of that, they had to meet certain guidelines in order to be on the debate stage. And as you can see, I think we're down to 5 now that have reached the debate stage. Michael Bloomberg is now trying to qualify to be on the debate stage. You have to have so many donors in order to qualify, along with some polls. And right now, he's getting pretty close to reaching that category. On the GOP side, the Republican side, again, many of them are not having primaries. No one's running but 45. And as a result of that, you're really limiting people who like to have an alternative, another selection, but they will not get the chance. South Carolina was one of the first ones that canceled its GOP primary. So there's not a choice here. The only name to be on the ballot then will be, I guess, 45. So that's how it works. So there are two in each group, each Democrats and the Republicans, the GOP, set their rules on how folks are going to make those debates and all of the things and all the rules that they're going to run in order to get to the primary. But again, you have to meet a certain number in order to be the nominee of your particular party. And with 20-some people running, even though they're not on the debate stage, you still have some candidates like Michael Bennett who are still in it for right now that are have not reached the debate stage, but they're still, you know, trying to get their name recognition and things out there. Did that clarify it for?
Yes, that clarified, and I think it also brought up a few questions that probably some people want to, you know, you can be a part of this. Just call in 347-857-4192, and I think that's something we need to make sure we're able to, we don't have all the knowledge of exactly about the total process, but we're giving you just something, you, a shell of it, you can work from it. Because a question I would even have, and when I think about it, and some people may have the same question, because Scott, you know, room of the individual, and I'll quit using you know, but you'll have somebody have a question, but they won't ask it, you know, and we're in the same kind of setting right now where you have an opportunity to do that. But one of the questions I would have and ask is a lot of the individuals, and I just want us to kind of think about it. Might be some individuals out that may know it. When you're talking about donors, when are we looking at for Michael Bloomberg financial donors, or are we looking at whatever type of donors? And like I said, someone may be on the line, or somebody as an individual expert pretty much on that can tell. But Scott, you may run across some people that may can share some thoughts in regards to when you said donors that Bloomberg would need to get on, get in the debate circuit. What exactly is that? Financial donors?
I don't know about him because he's self-funding his campaign for right now, from what I understand. And I think this has been the controversy this past week, the fact that other candidates, all the candidates that have been running have had to meet this threshold. And he is using his own money because he's a billionaire, three or four times over. I mean, he could pretty much, he's worth about $60 billion or more. And as of today, he had already self-funded with these ads that he's running across the country and in especially strategic areas of the battleground states like Michigan, Pennsylvania, and places like that. Those are your battleground states that he's already pumped in $340 million in just ads alone. And the criticism from the other candidates has been that with him, because he has not been on the debate stage, more than likely he's going to be on the debate that's going to take place prior to the Nevada primary. And he has not been on the stage up until that point. Now, the rule changed a little bit for him. Now, Perez said today it did not. So I'm not sure on what his threshold really was, but the previous threshold for all everybody else had been, you know, the donors and also the polls. I think as of today, Bloomberg had gotten one poll or maybe two, and I don't know if you need two or three polls. I'm not really clear on that, but I do know that there are certain guidelines that he has to meet, and they are complaining about why would the rules change for him. Perez said the rules were not changed for him, but if everybody else has certain rules, and you know, you lost quite a few of the African-American candidates, such as Senator Harris and Senator Booker. That was some of their complaints, you know, about buying, you know, being very wealthy where you can buy your way into all of this.
And Scarlett, that's, and I want to take it from there, because that, for a lay person, painting a picture where you can never be in that position unless you have money, because we're saying there are certain criteria that is set aside. Those 20 individuals, I'm going to assume, when they first started out, was following what was required of them. Then all of a sudden, I'm not saying Bloomberg wasn't in there, but I just don't remember seeing him in the 20, but all of a sudden, cause of him being a billionaire, his money is more or less speaking. So to me, that creates a tainted situation, because those other candidates was doing exactly what it was required of them. Now you have somebody that wasn't even on the circuit, cause of his money, buying his way on the circuit, and we're back to more or less where control, because if you got the most money, now you can be the one that's kind of push and nudge your way in there. Now, I see it that way, and that should be a problem. It creates problem because, as you said, Senator Booker, as well as Senator Harris, is saying that, okay, we have to go through, we have to meet a threshold. We had to do that. And we eventually had to step back because of what we were running into. And this gentleman to come in late in the ball game and pushing his way in. So now that takes the whole situation. And those individuals that do have money, you still, when he got $60 billion, you can't even compete with that man. And it's not many can compete with him on that, you know, on the circuit. So I see that as a problem. It needs to be attacked. Now, looking at the other thing, Scarlett, you shared in regards to those states like your state no longer want to do a primary on the Republican side because of, you know, they're not really giving anybody else a chance because they made their mind. We're going with this one person. That ain't what we said democracy is all about. Everybody have an opportunity. So I'm looking at it, and I don't know how you feel about it, but I see it as, you know, both sides, something is not right here. When we have candidates that have to complain on one side and have people complaining on the other side, so they can't even get in there because these states are no longer opening the door. You know, just can you share your thoughts on that and see how we can correlate?
Well, it really angered, and we're not, you know, that's not my party affiliation, but it really angered quite a few people here because basically you're denying a democratic, a democracy. You're not giving people an opportunity to have another choice. You're saying this is the choice. You vote for it or you tank it. Now, some people may decide that they're going to not vote Republican. They may like the Democratic nominee much better. If you had a Republican choice, you know what I'm saying? You know, at least you'd have that. So, but that's not going to be available. And I think, I know South Carolina is one of the first states, and there are some others that are not going to have the Republican choice either.
Exactly.
We're not a monolithic culture. You know, we have Republicans who are African Americans. We have a majority of Democrats, and we have a lot who are independent. And I just believe in giving people a choice. That's what democracy is all about. We don't live in Russia, even though we seem to think that Russia is running America now and everything. We don't live in places where you are just told this is who you're going to choose, this is the person. That's the purpose of being in a democratic society. A republic. That's what the purpose of all this is. And I'm glad that I live in, you know, where we live. But at the same time, when you look around the world, the countries that look to us as a beacon of hope, a beacon of what democracy looks like, are now looking at us like, what is wrong with you all? What's happened? And, you know, I know the answer to that personally and how I feel about it. You know, just the way it is right now. Exactly. And we got to be able to not lose our democratic principles and our values and our American way of life. We're not perfect people. No one is. And we have a lot of problems, you know, that we have in this country. Of course we do. And we know that racism is still a big part of that, as well as gender and women's rights and all the things that, you know, we know that we talk about on this show often. But at the same time, you don't deny a person the right to vote. And because people have fought and died for that right, and this is not an election that, you know, we need to sit back and take it very casually. This is serious stuff. It's critical stuff. If anyone thinks that children who need food assistance, it's being affected now. We have kids in cages on the border. Would you want your child separated from you and in a cage? No. So we have a lot of things that we got to really think about, you know, and I know that during election time, we get courted from all over the place. We got a phone call right before I came on this call, where I was a little bit late coming on, somebody in the low part of South Carolina, the low country, we call it, having a town hall tonight. Her views, she's another party. I'm not there. And I'm trying to tell them I don't wish to be on this call. You know, it's like a robo thing, but they want you to be on this town hall. And everybody and brother going to try to talk to you and try to persuade you, this, that, and the other. But you have to read and look and research the issues, be up on the issues. In the same way that we get excited, some of us get excited about going to Popeyes for a chicken sandwich and fighting and getting upset about if it's not there. We need to get excited and get engaged and motivated in this process. Too many people have died for this right to vote.
And that's what we're talking about. You can be a part of it, 347-857-4192. Press 1, and I will identify you with the last four digits of your cell or telephone number. Then I'll actually offer your name and your location, if you feel comfortable, your comments, your questions, as well as your expertise. And that's something we all have to consider when we're dealing with the election process, how we're going to attack it, what's going to be the best strategy. And I think one of the biggest things that occur a lot of time, even on a local level, the strategy is that just because we all can be there, sometimes we run, sometimes we hurt the best candidate being there. And sometimes that's what we got to consider. I don't, you know, anytime we have people just monopolizing things, people that shouldn't be there, but you elect them. That's one of the things we're going to talk about, just because they got the most money, because they're the most popular person, but we are looking for the person to do the best job. And that's one of the things that concern me when we have everybody, the doors open. And you got to write. I want you. I want to be able to run too, but I also want to be able to win and have a strategy. That's my thing right there. So I always say with a whole lot of candidates, you got a right to be there, but you need to get it down as quick to one as possible so you can have a year to work with it, I believe, because that's my thinking of trying to be successful. And if you want the right candidate that's going to do the job, even if that person's not the right candidate, if you elect them 4 years, get rid of them. We got to do that. So that's something that's concerning, just like I say, not being able to have primaries because they already made their mind up as a party who they're going to put in that. So they're going to give that nomination too. And then having people nudging their way in because they got the most money, I don't agree with that. That's not right, because you're pushing other people out who don't have as much money. And it splits where you need to go. So if I got the most money, I'm going to spend the most money. So we got so many things, but the process is there. Scarlett shared several of the thoughts in regards to how the process worked, how many votes you have to have to be moving that slot as a nominee. So this is something, but you as an individual have a vote. That vote is free. You know, take it to the poll and put it there, put a lever, put the ballot inside the electronic device, whatever, but make sure you vote. That's what it's all about. You know, make sure we get to the polls and vote. And that way you don't have to say, it don't matter. It does matter, but you got to get out and vote. All right, Scarlett, let's kind of look at this next topic in regards to the election of the president. Once they get down through the nomination process, they go through the process of now electing the president. And I think one of the things that is not clear when we're dealing with that, when the election of the president, it's two types of votes that goes on, and that's the popular vote and the electoral college, which is the electoral process. We have to understand that even in democracy, when you're talking about the vote, all about the majority vote, we still voted to have that process of the electoral college. And a lot of time in electoral college, you may elect someone to serve in that capacity. They ain't always guaranteed to offer and put the best vote out. So we look at the developing of the electoral college, the states becoming red state, blue state. And for those individuals who don't quite understand, the red relates to the Republican, blue relates to the Democrats. Scott, you want to share the thoughts on that one right there? We're talking about the election process for the president through the Electoral College.
Yes, once the both parties have reached the decision based on the number of delegates they have earned, and again, on the Democratic side, they have to have a 1,900-plus delegates, number of delegates. And on the Republican side, I don't know what their number is, but both sides will have a number they have to reach. Whoever reaches that number first is the nominee of their party. And, of course, when you don't have primaries in the states on the Republican side, and you're pretty much told that you're going to vote for 45, you know, more likely he is going to be the nominee of the Republican Party's run for reelection. And he's run in various ways, as we know, which was based on evidence from the impeachment process and from the Mueller report. Basically, on the Democratic side, let's say that the nominee is reached, 45 is the nominee for the Republican Party. Then we go to the election. During the election process, you can choose either one of the two persons. You can choose to vote for 45. You can choose to vote for the Democratic nominee. You're not tied to a party. You can cross the line. Once the election is held, there's got to be 200 some votes that they have to reach to be named the president. This is the Electoral College vote. The Electoral College is based on when you have those state meetings and things like that, and people are chosen to cast that particular vote for the presidency. In 2016, Hillary Clinton won the popular vote, but because of the Electoral College, those electors did not follow through with what they had been elected to do, and some just refused and voted for the person who's there now in the Oval Office. So as a result of that, she won the popular vote. She won the vote of the people, but the electors did not follow through, and he won the electoral vote. People are now questioning whether or not we need to get rid of the Electoral College. And in the process of those electors casting the vote, because you're really, the argument is, you're not doing the will of the people. If the people said that she had the most votes, and she did, why wasn't she named president? And that's because of what I just explained about the Electoral College and people who are those electors who come and cast that particular vote.
Exactly. And keep in mind, those individuals that vote in Electoral College are representing those people that are coming from a popular vote, because you're selecting
correct.
Those delegates.
Some of them didn't do that this last time.
See, and that's the thing, that's the chance you take when you elect people to represent you in a certain state.
Mm-hmm.
They're not always vote. Just because you ask somebody who they voted for, that don't mean they voted for that when they went inside. Because it's supposed to be the kangaroo vote where you don't supposed to know who they vote for. They can tell you anything. So that's the process that we have. Unfortunate, it's been from beginning of pretty much of the election process. And it's just one of those things that we have to understand. That's the process. If it works for us, we have to accept it. When it don't work for us, we have to accept it. We have to always keep that in mind when we're dealing with this process. Well, a lot of people don't quite understand the popular vote and the Electoral College. It is two different things, but it all really ties into one thing, because you should be voting for those delegates, the delegates who from each one of those states to go and cast a vote for the numbers that's there. But you've got to be careful who you put there. So that's what I'm saying. Be very careful. And I understand what we say. We hope they will do it. That's all it is a hope, because they may not go there and vote the way you think.
And it was the idea of the founders constitutionally that the popular vote, that the representative casting that electoral vote in electoral college would follow, as you just said, what the population, what the people voted to do. In the case of 2016, Clinton had 215 electoral college votes. 45 had 254.
Yeah.
Even though she won the popular vote by more than 13,000 votes.
Yeah. So that's something we have to keep in mind, but you got to understand that. It's just not simply, you know, this is this. All that ties into one another. And we have to make sure when we're doing that, we just have to cast our vote. It's better not to sit back and try to figure it out beforehand like we're, you know, we might be doing and don't vote, because you can't really correct anything if you don't vote. It's free. Go to the polls and vote. How the chips fall, let's move. We just move on from that point until we can get clarity. Because a lot of people don't. I've had people ask me when they saw this title, I mean, it's title of the show, and just ask me because they know I'm in that area, and they just don't understand it. They just don't understand it, and we have to understand exactly what's going on. We're not. It's not been explained. Local elections are not the same when you get to the president election, because yes, you vote. For a person, but the electoral college, you're supposed to vote for the delegates that go vote for you. And a lot of times, those delegates can have maybe 10 or 15 votes, go and vote how they see. And if you know that, make sure you get the right person in, and that way you can correct that problem. So that's one of the situations.
Well, I think it's outserved its purpose. And I think that it should be, for me personally, this is my personal opinion, I think it should be strictly on the popular vote. It's we the people. And if we the people are saying this is who we want, even though you have been also a state representative to serve as an elector, you need to vote how we said we wanted you to vote. It shouldn't be your personal decision. But unfortunately, that did not happen in 2016. This was a compromise between the founders of our country versus in that convention, to as a way of some wanted the popular vote to count only, others wanted people to be representatives to come and vote. So as a result of that, we have what you call, like, I guess, a two pronged thing here going since all that time.
Exactly, and that's what we're talking about. The calling number is 347-857-4192. You know, press one, and I'll make sure I have you live so you can share your thoughts and your expertise on this. And I'll identify you. We'll ask for a digit of your cell or telephone number. All right, we're going to move to the impeachment process and share some of the things that most of you have been keeping up with that. And you have to understand how it operates. A lot of people don't quite understand. They may see it, and they may understand it. You know, the House can only come up with articles or what you call charges. That's all they can offer is charges. They come up with the charges and vote on it. Then they give it to the Senate, who is the court system. And the court system at that higher level out of two houses have a tendency to have a trial, hear the trial, and vote how those 100 senators that's representing all of us in this country in some form or fashion vote. And that's how that process works. So we have to kind of keep that in mind, that because if you have it just one way, then one party would dominate. If you had the other way, it'll be the other way. So, you know, the thing we got to keep in mind, that's why we have these processes, to protect from that kind of situation. Now, the response, and I don't know how the response has been in your area, Scarlett, but, you know, and I really hadn't heard a lot of chatter about it, but maybe because they didn't understand it, or they just, some people just exhausted or whatever. I don't know. I just haven't heard it. And I know throughout the week, you know what I was dealing with, and for the last 2 or 3 weeks, some of the things we've been dealing with. So it's just, I hadn't heard a lot of chatter, but, I give you an opportunity to kind of share your thoughts in regards to that, because, again, a lot of our listeners don't quite, especially in other countries that we have, may not understand exactly what has occurred the last 2 months or so dealing with the impeachment and the Senate trial and everything.
It was, I would like to say that it's been suppressed, skewed, inaccurate, debased, and really the truth is not being told, depending on what part of the country you're in. You're in a red state. I'm in a red state. Lindsey Graham and Tim Scott are the senators from the state of South Carolina. I don't need to say any more, because you have, I said, Lindsey Graham, who is the senator, the senior senator from the state of South Carolina. Tim Scott, who is a black man, is a junior senator. They both represent the state. Both of them are Republicans. They're members of the GOP. Folks who have followed Lindsey Graham from John McCain until now, his previous comments during the Clinton impeachment, it's like night and day. And he has led the charge, been part of one of the leaders of the charge in ensuring that the trial in the Senate was pretty much a slam dunk on acquittal. Didn't want to hear the evidence, didn't want to read the evidence coming from the House of Representatives where the charges were drawn. And you saw, if you watched any of the impeachment trial, any of the impeachment hearings, you saw where they brought in Adam Schiff, who was the head of Intel, and Jerry Nadler, who's head of a judicial, brought in a lot of evidence from, and the other House managers brought in a lot of evidence and witnesses into the House of Representatives, and it was televised, those hearings, and I watched all of that. When the charges went to, when Speaker Pelosi finally sent the charges over to the Senate, and she was very clear that she really didn't want it to be a sham trial, but that's exactly what we had. There were no witnesses called in the Senate who handles the trial. It's like a courtroom. It should be like a court case. And anyone who's been in a courtroom, we know that you have witnesses, you have a defense, you have prosecution. The House of Representatives were the prosecutors, Adam Schiff and other House managers. And I want to give kudos to Representative, I think her last name is Demon, from Florida. Real sharp, 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 sharp lady. She and Representative Jeffries, I think his name is. Sharp people. But they were, all of them were really, really good. When the charges were sent to the Senate, that was her. That's why she delayed, because she did not want to have a sham trial. They had spent a lot of work on evidence was not being supplied, people ignoring subpoenas. But even with that, they were able to put together the charges based on testimonies of Colonel Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, the other witnesses that came, the ambassador who was in the Ukraine, that they, Jovanovich or whatever, I think that's her name, that was targeted. And just so many people came forward and told the truth. When the charges went to the Senate, they did not want to call any witnesses. They voted that down. They didn't want to hear the evidence. Lindsey Graham said he wasn't even going to read it. It was just shocking. And Speaker Pelosi's fears were actualized, that this was just a cover-up trial, a sham trial, and really no trial. I've never been to a trial where you didn't have, and even for those looking at trials on TV, Perry Mason, Matlock, and what's some other ones out there, Bluff City, you know, things like that. You know, in every courtroom, you got a judge. The senators were the jury, so they couldn't say anything. And then you have, you know, the prosecutors, the House of Representatives, the House managers came over and prosecuted the case. When it got time, we want witnesses called. They said no. They voted it down. They want to present new evidence. They don't want to hear any evidence at all. And 45 has blocked people that could have just easily cleared him from anything. He's blocked everybody from testifying. He's threatened people to testify. He threatened the senators that if they didn't vote if they voted to remove him, he would have their heads on a pike. And in England, I think everybody pretty much know, I think I'm right about this, on a pike, you know, your head is like on a really like a pole or stick after they chop it off. And that was a direct threat. So this is what we've had to deal with in this situation. As a result of that, they quickly, and Mitch McConnell was determined that it was going to be quick. He was going to be acquitted, he and Lindsey, and this is exactly what happened. Being acquitted doesn't mean you weren't guilty. It just means that you manipulated the process, and as a result of manipulating the process, you got what you wanted, which was he was not going to be removed. Only the Senate could actually vote to remove him. The kinker was that Senator Romney did not vote with his party on one of the articles of impeachment, one of the charges. And they're after him, you know, they're ready to come after him with everything they got because of that. That's a historical thing, because that's the first time a member of the Senate did not vote with his or her party to not remove someone. That's going down in history, and his speeches, too, that he gave about it. So there was a bipartisan vote to remove him. In that, I think you mentioned the number, Doc, I think 47, he was in that group with the Democrats. He voted to remove on one of those articles of impeachment.
Yeah, I guess the number is 54-46, Republican-ran Senate.
It was 47 with him.
Is 47 with him, and that, you know, that's, let me ask you, because some people keep asking me that, is it the reason why the Senate did it that way, because it became a partisan situation from the House of Representatives and for the Democrat and for the Republican in the Senate, that's why it was a partisan vote instead of a bipartisan vote? Some people asking me that, you know, I'm just trying to see exactly that's what it was. Was it the partisan on one side came against the partisan on the other side?
For me personally, I don't think partisan had anything to do with it. When I listened to the hearings and all the evidence and read the Mueller report, and the fact that all these folks were coming forth because they knew they're working there. They're seeing this stuff. They're seeing funds being withheld from Ukraine, who's in a war with Russia. People are losing their lives. They need those the armor. We have been supporters of Ukraine for I don't know how many years. It's been so long because these wars have gone on for so long. And then all of a sudden, if you do not give me dirt on the Bidens, then we're not going to give you any more money to fight. And the Senate, the House of Representatives are the ones who vote to appropriate the funding for anything. That the appropriation starts there first. And they had already appropriated that money. That money had already been approved. And the money was being withheld. You can't do that. You know, you just can't do that. But this is what was done. He withheld the money. And then when it got wind that this was coming out, because people were now beginning to talk, all of a sudden some money was released.
All right, Scott, let me hold you right there. We got a caller that's on the line, and the last four digits is 6103. Share your name, and if you feel like your location, then you can join in with the discussion about the impeachment.
Yes, sir. My name is Michael, calling from Wisconsin. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling.
Yeah. I just wanted to point out some things about the previous caller was mentioning. And this is where, you know, like for myself, I'm an independent. So I look at both sides. I don't just buy into the one side narrative a lot of people seem to do these days. And if you look at this impeachment thing from a Democrat perspective, this is where they screwed up at. And this is something you could either blame on the media or the Democrat Party themselves. And you have to remember what we went through the last 3 years. Remember all the hype we had about Russia and about Russian collusion and about the Mueller report? And the media built up this expectation for the public. And the public's mindset was this. You're hyping this Russian thing up so much. If Mueller shows the evidence that Trump colluded with the Russians in any way for the election, that's it. He's done. He's out. It was case closed. Even all the Republicans have said that. When that fell through, now when you all of a sudden show up with this whole Ukrainian phone call and this quid pro quo thing, people don't care. Because you gave them this high expectation of this serious thing. Then when you show them instead, now you go with this Ukrainian phone call, people say, it's not a big deal. Who cares? Even if you did do it, most people say they don't even care anyway. Because it's like, essentially you're saying, basically, he wanted to withhold our taxpayer money to basically go to another government to help finance them. In return, he wanted to dig up dirt. And it wasn't even digging up dirt, by the way. That's the other thing. That's the thing Democrats didn't calculate, was that he wasn't telling the Ukrainians to manufacture a story about Biden. There was an actual corrupt situation in place, in the fact that his son was working for Burisma, a corrupt gas company, and his son was getting paid millions of dollars a year for a company he had no experience in, no qualifications, couldn't speak Ukrainian, and was on this board when his dad was vice president. Then you find out Joe Biden was actually part of the oversight group when it came to money going to the Ukraine. Then we find out that his dad threatened to withhold the $1.5 billion loan to the Ukrainians unless they fired the prosecutor that was investigating the company his son was working for. So once that came out, then it was like, oh, Biden and his son were actually involved in some dirty corruption. So this wasn't a matter of like Trump telling the Ukrainians to make up some stuff about Biden. This was the Bidens were actually in some dirty stuff. So once that came out, then that took the entire impeachment thing out. If you track the polling, once the story about Hunter Biden came out, support for impeachment just dropped like crazy. If you look at the polls, you can check it. Because in early October, there was more support for impeachment removal for Trump. And then once the Hunter Biden story came out, it dropped. The numbers totally flipped. So this is just an example of the Democrats not knowing what they're doing. This is a joke. And so if you're a supporter of the Democrats, you should be pissed off, because they promised you one thing, and instead they handed you this garbage, and they didn't even cover up their own tracks, because if they had known what was coming, they should have known this Hunter Biden story was going to come out, and they didn't, you know, do their own diligence and make sure to cover everything up beforehand, and it blew up in their face. And because of that, now look where Trump's at. He's got his highest approval rating since he's been president. Support for Democrats is going down, and look what's going on in your presidential primary right now. If you're a Democrat, it ain't looking good, man. I'd be worried if I were you.
All right, we really thank you for calling in. It's awesome. You offer your information. We all got to have everybody's point of view. Thank you so much. Scarlett, we're at the end of the show. You can kind of come on the tail end of that and kind of share your thoughts in regards to his not.
Okay, well, first of all, I'd like to, you know, thank him for his point of view, and that is his point of view.
Yeah.
First of all, I could refute just about everything that he said, and I am a Democrat. I'm a lifelong Democrat, proud one. And no, we're not going down because maybe at the next show we can talk. I'm going to refute everything he just said, because a lot of that stuff is not correct. Those are the talking points that a lot of the folks on the other side would like for people to believe. And most of that is inaccurate. It's not true. Now, what's perception of what Hunter did in terms of serving on the board? Not cool? No, it wasn't, because the perception is there. But this thing has been investigated to the hilt, and there's been no anything to show that there's been anything that was done incorrectly or illegally or whatever case may be. President Obama sent Joe Biden, had him to do this. And also, he was following the dictates of those at United Nations or whatever the organization is, who all agreed that corruption in that part of the world was not good. That's why the prosecutor had to go, who was there.
Awesome.
They tried to get them to, as far as they, and still trying to do it. But every time this comes up, what bothers me is that no one mentions the fact that you got Ivanka Trump, who is not having to pay tariffs for her clothing coming from China. All these millions of dollars these people have made with no experience in the White House, people currently serving, who do not have the credentials, do not have security clearances, all these things, but this is never talked about. You only hear what that side, what we should be doing. But no question, no anger, no fallout about all this other stuff. The Amalmas clauses, where you can't be making money and having Secret Service spending $500 to $600 a day in certain hotels that belong to somebody because you're the head. You know, we can go through all of this, but I appreciate the caller. You know, that's his point of view. But I certainly wish that we had time where I could go and we would really have a real good discussion on his point of view and then me trying to refute and let you know what the other side of point of view is. No, Democrats aren't going down. It's just too many people that were running. And we're going to have to make a decision. And a decision will be made. And I am hoping and praying that we get up off our keisters and go vote and be unified behind whoever is the candidate, the nominee representing this side of the party.
Awesome.
Because even with all the problems, you know, and trying to go through this process, it's been a long process. It's gonna be longer. But this is what we've had to do. But at least it was democratic. One told you, no, you're going to vote for this person, that's going to be it. We're not going to have a primary. That didn't happen.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you so much, Scarlett. Yeah, we're at the end of the show now, and I do appreciate the caller for calling in. I want to make sure I give a shout-out to each and every one of those individuals who took time to be with us. We started out with Miss Christy, with number one. Thank you, Christy, so much for joining Ms. Christy. Also, we have Kimberly Alexander joining us. We have Keith Sism, a man of Phi Beta Sigma fraternity. So proud to have you on here, Keith. We have Tasima Sunshine Jackson. Thank you. And another one of my, when I see one of my former students on here checking us out, I get excited. And he's here most of the time, and that's Preacher Man Preaching for Him, Michael Clemens, Reverend Clemens. He's down in Evergreen, Alabama. We give him a shout out, and played basketball for me many years ago. Thank you, Michael, for joining us. Antonio Washington, another member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated. We also want to make sure we holler out at you and let you know what's going on, and we appreciate you joining us on a regular basis. Latasha Stevens. Shout out to Latasha, member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority. Also, her son Chase Alexander signed a scholarship to Mississippi Valley State. Welcome to the SWAC. And we look forward to playing Mississippi Valley. And still, I will continue to support Chase in his endeavor. Thank you so much, Latasha. Another one of my frat brother, Luster Holston. He's joining us as well out of Gamma Epsilon at Alabama A&M University. Thank you, Luster, so much. Also, we had other individuals that was a mixture on two vehicles, and we had another Sigma that was joining us, and that was Winston O'Neill out of the great state of Michigan. We're so glad to have him. He's a former Great Lakes Regional Director, served the same time I served as Southern Regional Director. We served on national board together, and so excited to have him join us on our show as well. We have Sharon Sherrod. She's joining us And I'm going to look down and say, Sharon, I look like you're a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. And also, Shanita Arrington Mitchell is joining us as well. I'm going to give you all a wave. And also, a number on Blog Talk Radio. So glad to have another member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated, Crystal Porter out of the state of Ohio. We appreciate you joining us so much. All of y'all, it's always good to have you as a part of this. We are offering information to you. We're giving you a vehicle to share your thoughts and also attain as much information from us in our expertise as possible. We also have our show coming on, not tomorrow, which was normally be Dr. Lowe's show. We're going to come back on Wednesday with our sports show, Talking Sports Plus, because we're going to really talk some sports because we're in playoff time in all various states in the southern region or southeastern part of the United States, and we want to bring some scores and stuff with you on our Wednesday night show as well as our Friday show, which will be at Friday show is 2:30 on Friday, Balling with the Doc. Wednesday is 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. Scarlett, we're going to close it out now. You can share your thoughts as we begin to close out, and then we'll move forward from that point.
Well, we certainly like to thank all of our listeners who tune in from all of our international areas as well as our domestic areas. We love having you join us, particularly on nights every other Monday night where we do Talking Real to You. And tonight, this has been Real Talk. We got, if nothing else, you always need to be, you need to be able to discern what is and what isn't, because there are talking points out there that are going to be said that are inaccurate, but those are the talking points. And you got to be able to know, do your research, do your homework, know your candidates, and be able to make a wise decision. We're not going to tell anyone how to vote. That's not our purpose. But we're saying to you, our listening audience, and you know that we're real on this show, so that you do your homework. You know, we give you information, weigh it, go back and research it, because I do research everything I hear. You know, I'm going to go back and check. I'm going to do what's called the facts check. And I need for you all to do the same thing. We need to be facts checkers, F-A-C-T-S checkers, and don't let people sell any of us a bill of goods. Don't do that.
Awesome.
Vote. Too many people have given up their lives and their livelihoods for our right in 2020 to vote.
Awesome. That's what we're talking about. As the title said, talk is cheap. Voting is free. Take it to the polls in November. Two last things I want to share with you. As again, our show on Wednesday night is 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard, Talking Sports Plus. On Thursday, we'll also have our Love Cafe coming to you at 6 o'clock Central Standard Time, 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. We're going to talk about love, which is listening. The O is overcoming. The V is valuable. And last but not least, the E is excitement and just expectation. I want to share with you something that we're doing in my family. I have two books, my last two books that I wrote. The first one is Education, What Happened to the Passion? It goes for $15, as well as Don't Be Scared to Love. It goes for $20. It's user-friendly, and it also is short enough for What You Want Series 2, and that's what it's all about. The cost for the education, What Happened to the Passion, is $15, and Don't Be Scared to Love is $20. We started a scholarship for my sister that just passed recently that we finalized as Edna R. Smith Scholarship, and it's for students that go into community college who will focus on getting a certification or associate degree in cosmetology. and we will look to take proceeds from the selling of each one of these books. You can go to my Facebook page, make a request, as well as you can go to my Gmail account, which is LorenzaDSmith15@gmail.com, and say, I want to purchase one of those books, Education, What Happened to the Passion, $15, and Don't Be Scared to Love, $20, and part of the proceeds go toward that scholarship for a student coming up in the fall of 20 that's going to a community college because they took off technical college. They don't have that too many places now. Or trade school, they don't have that anymore. It's community college, and if they want a certification or a associate degree in cosmetology, we will help support through the Edna R. Smith Scholarship. So make sure you get your book and work toward it. We have a signing party as well as a birthday party on the 21st of this month at Brin's Wing in Montgomery, Alabama. Check it out, and you can come get your book, either one of these books, purchase either one of these books, and that part of the proceeds will go to that. It's been awesome. I appreciate each and every one of you all. You know, my hashtag
is keep... I just want to say that it was your book is really good to support audience. Don't Be Afraid to Love. It's a very short read, but it's well written. And again, our condolences to you and your family for the loss of your sister.
Thank you so much. It's just, you know, it's good to have family and friends. That's what it's all about. The love we have. That's why don't be afraid to tell those individuals you love that you love them. Because I talk about it every day. I would go feed my dad and my sister's was in the same nursing home on the third floor as well. And I go visit her. She always would say, I love you. And I say, I love you as well. And she'll say, I love you more. Just tell your family that. Because that's what it's all about. My hashtag is what you want to always make sure you work toward. When it is, keep on grinding. Second hashtag, communicate understanding. And last but not least, we know there's better days yet to come. All we got to do is wait on them and put our trust in the Lord. We don't own the rights to this music. But I always tell you, and there's nothing you can really do about it. I love you. And ain't a thing you can do about it. Have an awesome
time. You may think that it's over, that your life is done. Oh my.
Is yet to come.
Don't sweat the challenge. Your battle's already won. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is yet to come.
Listen, y'all. See, God writes the end. Before the story begins, oh, he told me to tell you the best.
Is yet to come.
As the author of your faith, he wrote in provision for you to win. You're a
the
winner, you're a winner, you're a winner.
Yet to come. You ain't seen your best days yet.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
You ain't seen your best.
I don't care what people told you, you ain't seen the
best. You ain't seen your best day.
Oh, well, my.
You ain't seen your best day yet.
Stay in the faith, my sister.
You ain't seen your best day yet.
Stay in the word, my brother, my brother, my brother,
you
my
ain't
brother.
Seen your people,
can God speak to you?
Yes, yes.
The best.
The best.
gonna run and not be weary. You're gonna walk and not faint. Oh, oh, the best is on the way. I see you eagle, I see you flying high. And I know you may think that you have, but God told me to tell you, you gotta keep on fighting.